It's good to be here. The last time I was here was in 2010, 2011, and things have definitely changed in the area, that's for sure. Yeah, so we're from rural Maine, and coming through Allentown is interesting. We got on some of the roads, and I said, oh, my word, Lord, I need help. Like, this is not rural Maine anymore. So it's a blessing to be back here. It's a privilege to be up here tonight, and I hope it could be a blessing to you. So if you would, this evening, take your Bibles. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 this evening. Start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, and we're going to run down through the end of the chapter. Paul says this, he says, "For though I be free from all men," am I too loud, by the way? Okay, everything's good. Okay. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may be able to obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray here. Lord, I pray that you'd help tonight. Lord, I pray you keep a watch over my mouth, Lord, my lips. And Lord, only say those things could be a help and encouragement to your people this evening. Lord, if you can't work through me, Lord, I pray you just work around me to be a help and a blessing and encouragement tonight. I pray we'd all leave here better. And Lord, not just challenge, but change, Lord, if something needs to be dealt with in our lives. Lord, this we ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So up to this point in 1 Corinthians chapter, actually in the book of 1 Corinthians, you start around chapter 8. Paul, he says back there in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "Now touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." You get over to chapter 9, the beginning of that chapter, and Paul is talking about he had the power to eat and to drink. He had power to lead about a sister, a wife, all those things. Paul had the ability. He could eat meat, but if it caused a brother with a weak conscience to stumble, defile their conscience or embolden them to do that which was not of faith, being sin, Paul would have no part of that, but he had the ability to do that, the right to do it. Paul had the power to partake of the ministry that God gave him. His carnal necessities could have been provided for, and that was God ordained for them to be provided for. Yet, so the gospel would not be chargeable by any man. Paul had no problem doing what he had to do, providing for his own needs, whatever it was. But he says, when he gets to the end of that thing, he says, "But I have used none of these things." So leading up to this point, you see a lot what Paul is talking about, this thing of self-denial. And then we come up here in chapter 9, verse 19, and we run into more concerning this thing of self-denial. He says there in verse 19, chapter 9, verse 19, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." And he starts running through those things. See, Paul indeed was free. If you go look at Acts chapter 22, 28, he was free as a Roman citizen. He was free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 2, he said, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." Paul knew what it was like to be free. He knew he was no under the law. And as a student of the Bible, any of us in here as a student of the Bible knows that Paul had liberties in Christ and that no man had lordship over him with traditions, commandments of men, none of those things. Paul indeed was free, free from all men. Yet Paul said he made himself a servant to all. And his purpose was right there in verse 19, "that I might gain the more." That was the purpose of it. Paul understood things of weakness. He was free from the law, but he also knew, as he goes to, he said there in the one 22, he said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Paul understood those things. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:29, he said, who is weak and I am not weak? Paul understood weakness. Paul understood when the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yet Paul knew to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul knew how to be abased. Paul knew how to abound. Paul knew all those things. And brother, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're going to have a ministry that is effective for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be a servant of the Lord. And to be a servant of the Lord, you're going to be a servant unto all men, just like Paul said right here. Real quick, I want you to take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and hold your place there. We'll be coming back. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Jump into verse 24, 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. We got to get a hold of this tonight, all right? In our churches, we need to get a hold of this tonight. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. Paul got a hold of this thing. And that, you know what? If you're going to be a servant of the Lord, you're going to be a servant to all. And those things, you're going to be apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Here is a man. I want you to get a hold of this, okay? Paul had knowledge. Paul was given the revelation, everything you got in the Pauline epistles. Paul is given all of those things. Paul knows he's free from the law. Paul knows he can eat any meat that's sacrificed as long as it's not a stumbling block to his brethren. He knows all those things. Paul could have easily said, you know what? I have the right as a Christian to do that according to my Christian liberty. But Paul didn't do that. Paul said, you know what? I'm going to become a servant unto all. A servant unto all. Paul knew he was not without law to God, but under law to Christ. Even when he was dealing with the Gentiles, when he says there in verse 21, to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under law to Christ. Listen, Paul understood that he could find common ground with even Gentiles as long as it did not violate Scripture. Commonality could be found among all men. Paul knew these things. And he said this. You talk about that thing of weakness. Weakness. He says this in Romans 15:1. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:4, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Be patient, all men. Paul, a servant of all and patient toward all men. Now, here's the thing I want to call your attention to tonight. Go back there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want you to look at that 19, verse 19. He says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I, watch these words, made myself servant unto all. Paul made himself that way. He had the liberty, he had the right to those things, but Paul said, I made myself a servant unto all men. I want to call your attention to that because what we're looking at right there, brother, and what we want to talk to you tonight about is self-denial and self-sacrifice. And you know, the thing is with Paul with that, when he says, I made myself that way, was right in line of what a Christian is supposed to be. If you want to be Christ-like, it's making yourself something within the confines of Scripture, does not violate Scripture, making yourself something that you may gain the more. I'm going to show you. Take your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 tonight, Philippians chapter 2, and I want to show you. Paul was right in line with what the Lord was. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to jump into verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, watch this, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Paul was right in line. Paul was right in line. Made himself of no reputation, became a servant of all, just like Jesus Christ did. If you're going to be effective for Christ and you're going to do anything for God, you've got to get in line with that right there. It's time to put away things like, brother, listen, if you are one of those people that have a vast knowledge of the Bible and everything else, you're going to have, I didn't say you put those things aside, but you are going to have to condescend to men of low estate like your Bible tells you to do. You're going to have to become all things to all men. It's get off your high horse, whatever that may be, and get down to where a people are to help them and be effective for Christ. That's all that's going to matter. Brother, all this, I'm going to get to in a little bit. I'm going to get ahead of myself. And Paul was willing to go as far as righteousness and holiness permitted him to do so. Being not without law to God, but under law to Christ. He would go as far as holiness and godliness would permit him to go. Never compromise. If it was lawful, if there was liberty, Paul would meet them where they were at. Now, I know people don't like that. We'll meet them where they're at. Where they at, go meet them there. That's where they're at. The church, you can bring people in that you're dealing with. You want to see them get saved. You want to hear the gospel preached, but they're out there. They're out there. And you're going to have to go out there to where they're at. That's going to mean sometimes you're going to have, I'll give you an example, people, we would go into jails and prisons, I would go in Brother Chris, and people would say, how can you go to those people? My question is, how can you not go to those people? That's where they're at. We're not like them. Really? Do you know what you are outside of Christ? The same thing they are. See, that's the thing, brother. You get divorced yourself from those ideas of just getting sitting down in church and saying, this is what it's all about. This is great. This is for the feeding of the flock. But brother, Paul was about, look, you know what? We need to get out there and become all things to all men that I might, by all means, gain some. All? No, some. Amen. Some. All for what? All for what, Paul? Verse 19. That I might gain the more. For what, Paul? Paul, you knew you weren't under the law. Paul, you knew. You know what, Paul? You know, you think about this thing for a second. Paul, at one point, talking about the law and the liberty and everything else, Paul, at one point, if you go look in Acts chapter 16, verse 3, Timothy was circumcised. You go over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, Titus was not. Paul understood that, you know what, Timothy didn't have to be circumcised because the law didn't have to be put in place. But you know what, because his mother was a Jewess and there were Jews in those quarters, go look at it, he said, you know what, it's best that you get circumcised, Timothy. It's best you do that. Did Paul have to? No. That's exactly what Timothy, he's telling, same thing with Timothy, it's the same thing that to a Jew, to those under the law, I became as one of those under the law. Brother, we're not talking compromise here. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to get out there where people are at if you're going to help them out. If you go out there and blow them out of water with your vast knowledge and you're not, you got to understand where they're coming from. Paul knew where a Jew was coming from. Paul knew the law. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He knew the Gentiles. Weakness, Paul completely knew weakness. He understood that. You know what? He took what he had out there and said, you know what? I can find some kind of common ground here, some kind of commonality with no compromise whatsoever in the confines of Scripture, never violating holiness, never violating anything that would oppose direct commandments to words of God. Never. And why did he do it? Why, Paul? Why are you willing to do this? Verse 19, that I might gain the more. Verse 22, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23, that I might be partaker thereof with you. That's why I did it. Paul wanted to see people get saved. He wanted to see people come to know the Lord. And at the same time, he wanted to, look, I want to be a partaker thereof with you too. Paul said, look, I don't want to be in this thing alone. Now I want you to think about this for a second. You sit here tonight, if you're saved, you've been born again. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy your salvation in Jesus Christ? Hopefully more than one or two heads start bobbing up and down. Come on now. Right? Right? You enjoy your salvation in Jesus Christ, right? All right. You enjoy your salvation in Jesus Christ. Don't you want others to enjoy the same thing you enjoy in Christ? Then you know what? If you say, yes, I would like to do that. Okay, well then, brother, let me tell you what. Are you willing yourself to make yourself of no reputation like your Lord did? Are you willing yourself to be like a Paul? He said, I made myself servant unto all. Are you willing to do that? If you sit here and say, I would love to see other people get saved and know, have the relationship with the Lord like I have, then you know what? That's what it's going to take right there. Servant and all. Verse 24, 25, you say, sure I would. Christ is absolutely worthy, is he not? I want to fellowship with the Lord. I want to see people come to know the Lord, spend time with them. That's what church is all about. You know, sometimes tonight, honestly, you came here tonight, you might not leave thinking the preaching's any good. And that's fine. I would agree with you, okay? But the good thing is, you all got together tonight. You talked to one another. You shook one another's hand. You fellowship with one another. It's a help and it's encouragement to the saints. That's what the brother, you want to see more people come to know the Lord to have that kind of fellowship. You tell me what they have in this lost and dying world. They got nothing. You're sitting here tonight. You got hope. You got hope of everything that lies up ahead. What do they have? We want to be partakers thereof with them. Just like Paul said. He says, sure, I'd like to do that, brother. Christ is worthy. Then listen, verse 24 and 25. Watch this now. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. He says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Brother, if you sit here tonight and you say, yes, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see more people come to get born again, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, become born again. I'd like to see that. Then, brethren, start running the race. Start running the race. Start fighting the fight. Get in there. Now, I'm not saying you're not tonight. Okay, so if you are, I'm here to encourage you. Okay? But you need to run the race, so run that ye may obtain. But now listen, if you're going to run for the prize, he says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Okay? So if you're going to run the race, you want the prize. You know what? You're going to be temperate in all things. Those that strive for the mastery are temperate in all things, so you're going to have to be too. I want you to think about this. Any athletic endeavor, such as running, as the example used here, people will change their diet, they'll change their sleep habits, they'll rise early in the morning for training, they will practice so that they may master their pursuits. Is that right? Do we have any athletes in here tonight? Think back what you did as an athlete to be the top of your game. Would you do that for the sake of the gospel? That's what Paul is saying right here. He's saying, you know what? Temperate in all things. And it goes back to the same thing that Paul's been talking about from 8 on and even prior to that when he was talking about marriage and some staying single and everything else. Brother, he's talking about a thing. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to deny yourself of those things that are rightfully yours that you could have for the sake of the gospel? Being temperate in all things. There was things that Paul could have. You understand that? Go back and read that. Paul literally said, look, those that preach the gospel, live with the gospel. He said, but I've used none of those things. And you go back and look at that. That's ordained by God, by the way. That's a God-ordained thing. And Paul said, you know what? But I didn't use any of it. I didn't use a single. You know what Paul's saying? Look, I'll sacrifice for that. Are you willing to be temperate in all things to strive for that mastery? Are you willing to? Even eliminating anything that could be detrimental or cause you to fall short. That's something to think about. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? If you were in any athletic endeavor, You practice, you practice, you practice, you practice, you practice. Let me ask you a question. How many times are you reading your Bible, reading your Bible, reading your Bible, reading your Bible, reading your Bible? How many times are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? I didn't say approved unto men, approved unto God. Studying and studying and studying and studying. How many times are you taking opportunities to witness and pass tracts and get the gospel out? Those are the things, brother. That is the thing about striving for that mastery. You keep doing those things. Now, if you stop and think about this, when practicing anything else, people will even lose sleep over that. But when it comes to things like getting the gospel out, to point somebody to Jesus Christ, we can't even get out of bed on time to get out in the street. Something's not right. That's the thing about being temperate in all things. Man, you know, I can't go out on a Saturday night and get my pizza because they want to go out and go out street preaching or holding signs up or whatever else. Come on, man, you'll be all right. Eat it Sunday. Eat it during church. Stuff it under your chair. Pastor will never notice. But brother, I'm just saying, all that entailed denying oneself of some things so that mastery may be obtained. A prize procured. Would you tonight do all that to gain the more? Would you do all that that you might by all means save some? Would you do that for the gospel's sake? Now, each one of you got to figure this thing out all on your own. But what's most important to you? What's important to you? I would think if you came to the realization that Christ gave himself for you, that made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant. The Bible even says obedient unto death. I would think that that'd be pretty important to you if you're sitting here born again tonight. It'd be a pretty important thing to go out and tell somebody else about to partake of what you got to partake of. Would you give some things up for it? Brother, that's what the book's teaching us here. That's what it's teaching us. Now watch this in verse 26. Watch this thing in verse 26. He says this, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I therefore so run. Therefore, he's saying because of those things that were just stated, because that the striving for the mastery, their temper in all things, and doing to obtain an incorruptible crown, therefore, for those reasons, therefore I so run. Brother, when we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, we receive that incorruptible crown. Now, brother, you get reward out of this whole thing on top of it all, and I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but that's how good God is to you. He gives you the opportunity to point somebody to Jesus Christ. He gives you the opportunity. Do you know how we're privileged to take the gospel out there? To think that God would let me stand on a street corner out in the middle of Maine and say, the Bible says, is unbelievable. Of all the people that he could choose to do that, he lets me go do that. It doesn't strike me dead on the corner. That's glorious. That's wonderful. And on top of all that, I get a prize up ahead for that? There's a crown waiting for me? Incorruptible? Brother, we have a lot to be thankful for. God don't have to do none of that. We could have got saved, and that would have been good enough for any one of us in here. But God says, I want you to have so much more. Man, what a God. But Paul does all these things, brethren, because he says right here, not as uncertainly. Brethren, you can know that if you are willing to sacrifice these things, you can know that incorruptible crown waits for you. This is not uncertainly. This is not a guess with Paul. This is not a maybe. This is not a hope so. This is, I know it's there. It's there. It's waiting for me. Brother, that is absolutely wonderful. Glorious. How can you be so sure, Paul? I'll tell you how. Because the Lord will make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth. Proverbs 22:21. Bible even says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. I know that what that book, what is written, that's one thing about being a Bible believer. I believe every single word of that book, every single word of it. And if it says it, I lay a hold on it. Because they're God's words. not as uncertainly. He says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Folks, in a race, go back to that thing about a race. Even in a race, all may be entered in. They all may run, but only one's going to receive that prize. Now, do you know why? Why wouldn't somebody win? Why wouldn't somebody win? So you got all these people, they line up in a race, and only one wins it. So why wouldn't somebody win? Well, the only reason they most likely would not win is because they didn't train enough. Maybe they were not willing to sacrifice what it takes to be a winner. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? If you were a runner out there, you're running like a 5K or whatever, I would say that pizza and Coke as a daily diet may not be wise to win that thing, right? So if you're temperate in all things, a right diet, a right training, you got the potential for that prize. Brother, there's some things even with this. You have got to be temperate in some things if you're going to press toward the mark of the high calling. Brother, there's just some things you might just have to give up. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Now, even so in a fight, brother, if one's going to win, even a fight, they say, brother, this is kind of a carnal illustration. It's a Bible illustration. Okay? It's Bible. Even in a fight, first they need to enter the ring. Are you in the ring tonight? Are you in the ring? First they need to enter the ring. And you know what else? They must face an opponent to win. If not, you know what they're doing? Beating the air. They're shadow boxers. To no point, to no end. But I want to ask you tonight, are you even in the ring? Are you fighting for the souls of men? Are you out there trying to do something to point people to Christ, to have what you have in Christ? This thing was so important to Paul. I mean, Paul talked about stripes and imprisonment and deaths off, shipwrecked, everything else. A night, but all these things he went through for the sake of the gospel. To bring glory to God and see men get saved. We should have that same mindset. Are you in the ring tonight? Are you fighting? Are you fighting? So what do we do? Number one, run. Run. Understand you have a race to run and get in that race and run it for the prize. And with that, it's going to be some sacrifice that's going to be made along the way. It'll be worth it all. There's no doubt about it. Number two, fight. Fight. Get in that ring. And brother, I'm going to say this. You got to figure out where you're at tonight. You got to figure that out. Brother, stop pretending you're in a fight if you're not really entered in to fight for the prize. Say, brother, what do you mean? One thing about Christians is they're fine to just rest on their laurels. They're happy with the fact that I'm saved, I'm okay, thank the Lord that I'm going to heaven someday. What about your neighbor? What about your boss? What about your coworkers? Well, brother, you know what can happen? Oh, I know what could happen. It's going to be a fight. Otherwise, you're just pretending. If you're not willing to step in there, you're just pretending. It's shadow boxing. That's all it is. But I'll say this too. Fight the right fights. Fight the right fights. I don't understand why. And maybe some of you can explain it to me. Nobody has been able to yet. Why is there fighting in a church? Fighting the wrong fight, man. You're fighting the wrong fight. I'll tell you why there's fighting in churches. You know where, number one, you're in the wrong ring. You're fighting the wrong fight for number one. But that thing comes down to every single time is because I want people to think exactly the way I think. Okay, number one, that's not going to happen. Okay, number two, you're always going to have problems among one another, especially if you're a family. Anybody in here have brothers and sisters? Did you all always get along? That's family, man. Right? You're going to have those things. But you got to be careful, because what the enemy will do, the first chance he gets, he'll get in the middle of something and try to split the whole thing up, and he'll start a fight where a fight ought not to be. The fight is outside the doors, not inside the doors. You understand that? But that's what he does. And you know what? Christians fall for it every single time. They follow through with the whole thing. And next thing you know, there's fighting, there's divisions and contentions and everything else. I'm not talking about contentions and divisions over a biblical doctrine. I'm not talking about that. If there's heresy enters in, absolutely, there must be divisions. There will be contentions, okay? I'm talking about the silliest, stupidest stuff that I've seen Christians fight over. You're fighting the wrong fight. And meanwhile, people are dying and going to hell around you, and you're worried about the silliest thing in church. I've seen it. I pastored a church down in Georgia, and I'm just going to say it. I know this is probably live streaming, who knows? People only know I breathe, so I'm fine. The stupidest things they would fight over. It blew my mind. Curtains on the door, curtains off the door. Tint it so people can't see it, take it down. We don't want that. We want curtains up there. I'm the stupidest things. And I told him, you keep on fighting over, I'm going to rip all the curtains off the walls. I'm going to rip the carpet up. I'm going to paint it all white. And you're going to shut up. Because the fight does not belong in the church. The fight is out there, man. You're fighting the wrong fight. You need to understand who your opponent is. You understand that? Get a hold of that. Otherwise, you're going to chase your tail like a dog chasing his tail, and time's going to go by, and time's going to go by, and time's going to go by, and before you know it, you'll find out you have a life that was ineffective for Jesus Christ. Fighting stupid fights. Is that a wrong word to say? I'm sorry if it was. Apologize. And you know what? Make every blow effective, too. I'm going to say something else, too, here, too. Chris may never have me back. So it's okay. Stop. If you have an online ministry, let me just help you out a second, okay? If you have an online ministry, stop wasting your time fighting with people that will not listen. Because as you sit on your seat, as you sit on your seat, and you're trying to deal with somebody that will not listen, hours and hours and hours are going by, and you say, yeah, but you know what? I'm showing them what true and right doctrine is. They don't get it. Yeah. Do you understand some of them might not even be saved? No, they're Christians. We're just arguing over a doctrinal issue. No, some of them might not even be born again. That's why they can't even comprehend what you're trying to tell them, because they can't wrap their minds around Scripture. You're wasting your time with it all, man. People are dying and going to hell. Saints, born-again saints, are struggling. They're discouraged. They need help. They need edified. And they're not getting that, because the wrong fights are being had. Wrong fights are being had. Make every blow effective. Make every blow effective. Everyone. Paul knew what to do. Every blow, it was going to be an effective blow. And you know what? He said, it's going to take some sacrifice to do it too. You want to run the race for the prize? You're going to have to run it. You're going to be temperate in all things. You want to fight? No more shadow boxing. No more playing games. Get in the ring. And should I say this? If you say, brother, you know what? I've been in the ring and I'm tired. I am up on the ropes. It's the way it is. Get back up and keep on fighting. And that's why you need a good church to encourage you as you fight those fights. You need that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you commit yourself to run the race set before you, when you commit yourself to get in the ring, here's what you must do. Verse 27. Here's what you're going to have to do. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You got to deny yourself. See, Paul had knowledge. He was free from all men, free as a Roman citizen, free from the law, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, yet he brought himself into subjection. That's what it's going to take. You're not going to be able to get your way all the time. Don't work like that. Some guys, they only want a ministry. I want to do this ministry. I want to be a part of this ministry. God may not allow that for you because he has something different for you. And that's the thing about bringing yourself into subjection and saying, you know what, Lord, whatever you would have me to do. What would that have me to do, Lord? I want you to go do this. I want you to go do that. Well, Lord, I was kind of thinking I'd do something a little bit different. Oh, you see, that's the problem. He was thinking again. You're thinking again. Just be obedient. Just do what the Lord lays on your heart and be about that. It's going to take bringing yourself into subjection. Lest this liberty of ours become a stumbling block. Brethren, there's things that you have a right to do. You understand that? You have Christian liberty in things that you can do. But you know what? All things are not expedient. There's some things you're best becoming all things to all men. Never compromise. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But getting down there and saying, you know what? They're more important. It's more important that they... You understand you have a man that said he wished himself a curse from Christ? For the Jewish people. You understand that? Could you say that? Could you look at people around, your co-workers and everything, and say, I could wish myself a curse from Christ? He did. Whew. That's something to think about. You say, well, blah, come on. Okay, whatever. He's telling you what he said. That's how serious Paul was about it. Brother, there's times that you understand if you can't become all things to all men, that you might gain some, there's a potential being a castaway. Now, we're not talking about losing salvation. We're talking about people that won't even listen to you. Do you know how many times, being from time I got saved, I've been in Bible-believing crowd since I got saved. Do you know how many times somebody's knowledge has gotten in the way? They will blow people out of the water, man. You're going to see people come into your church that, guess what? I'm going to surprise you now. They're not like you. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to try to help them along? Are you going to blow them out of the water? I was in a church one time. A guy came into church, and he had on a flannel shirt with bibbed overalls. We knocked on the man's door. Praise God, he came in, excited as could be. You know what the men did that morning? It's the man's first morning. You know what the men did after that? Took an offering to buy him a suit. Gave him the money. You think he came back? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? People are going to come. You understand folks are going to come in here that didn't have the upbringing that you had. They weren't raised like you. They're not like you. Are you willing to get down there and help them, or are you on too high of a horse to get down? It's something to think about. I'm telling you what, God may put people across your path just to see how you're going to handle it. What are you going to do about it? I'd prepare yourself. God forbid we become castaways. God forbid it be like, you know what? Those people could be a help to people, but they just can't get over themselves. Cast it out, man. You know what? I'd be careful with it. There have been many prize fights, brethren, and with that, the victor of many of those fights have been forgotten. How many prize fights through history and are forgotten? The stats of a fight have faded into history. It's totally forgotten. Same thing with races, 5Ks, marathons, 100-meter dashes, everything else. The stats of it all fade into history. They mean nothing. But the worst part of that is all of them never really held or ever will hold an eternal value. In them, there's no profit. They might get a corruptible crown. But you, If you're sitting here tonight and you are born again, if you are saved, you are entered into a most important race. You're entered into a most important fight, a race to be run for the glory of God and a fight for the souls of men. That's the race you're in. I didn't sign up for that. Maybe you didn't, but you're in it. You understand that? You've been chosen to be a soldier. Now march it, man. Well, I didn't want that race. Doesn't matter. You're in it. I just want the benefits of it without the, oh, okay. Okay. No sacrifice. I want you to think about this. Many can enter, right? But for you sitting here tonight, when you enter a race or something, usually there's an entrance fee that has to be paid, right? Brother, your entrance fee has been paid. You've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. Your entrance fee has been paid. You are in it. You're in it. Your name has been written in. Now get on your marks. Get on your marks and run it. Enter the ring. Get inside the ropes. Stop shadow boxing and get in the fight. And I'll close with two more passages. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, maybe three more, and I'll stop. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. You know, the fact that we can sit here tonight and have that precious King James Bible sitting on your lap, wherever it is, that was bought with blood. That was bought with blood. Bought with blood. The fact that you can sit here tonight, born again, was bought with the precious blood of Christ. And the fact that you have that book right there on your lap, it was because of the shed blood of men that were willing to go that far. That sacrifice was worth it to them. God forbid it falls on our watch and we go, I'm done running. I don't want that fight. God forbid. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and surely we are, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which hath so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted in the blood, striving against sin. Brother, enduring such great contradiction of sinners. Your Lord was willing to go through all that to procure to himself a holy, righteous, godly people. God forbid that we drop the ball. God forbid we won't run. God forbid we won't lift up the hands and knees. God forbid that we just quit. Brethren, we have many that have gone on before us, a great cloud of witnesses, like Paul, that can testify of the worthiness of so great a cause. It's a worthy cause. But now, is it always going to feel like you won the fight? Most times it feels like you never won the fight. That's what it feels like most of the time, right? I don't know about you, but I feel like I lost every round I get in there. I go back, beat up, cut up, everything else, can't run, tired. I was like that. I hope I don't make any mad. I was like that fat kid in the school that was running the mile, and everybody else, they had their laps in, and I was still on lap two. I feel like that sometimes, man. I feel like the one that's walking across the line sometimes. I feel like that. You're not going to win every race. You're not going to win every fight. But brother, at the end of it all, it should be this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7-8. You know the verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7-8. This is what it should be, though. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7-8. We should be able to say this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7-8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And watch this. Remember he said about running for that incorruptible crown? Verse 8, henceforth, from this point forward, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Brethren, what a glorious thing that if you just fight that fight, you finish that race, that course that God has before you, that crown is waiting up there for you. It's an end of a life that is fought and run for the glory of God. And it's sitting right there for you. You just got to keep fighting the fight. You got to keep running the race. Look to Christ. Keep on running. Keep on fighting. It's not one fight and done. Every prize fighter that makes something out of himself, it's fight after fight after fight after fight, and challenger after challenger after challenger after challenger. If you win a fight, I guarantee you there's going to be another challenger that steps in the ring with you. It's the way it's going to be. But just keep on fighting. It's a Christian's life is a race that is made up of many. It's a race of many. It's a fight of many fights. But at the end of all, when we just can't get weary, we can't faint in our minds, we need to keep on going. And the reason being that we may gain the more. That we by all means might save some. Keep on going for the gospel's sake. That's why we do it. Why do you keep on going? Why do you do what you do? Why are you here tonight? You probably thought you were going to get a better preacher. I'm sorry. Chris didn't try to trick you or anything, by the way. I'm sorry. But brother, why are you here tonight? Hopefully because you want to get something that encourages you and helps you along, right? That's what the thing's all about. Brother, don't get weary and faint in your minds when you see things. Listen, God's still on the throne. I'm not going to start, forgive me if I do something, and then I get to leave. But God's not shaken up by who your president is. Doesn't shake him up one bit. Do you know why? Because your task has never changed. Nothing else matters. Say, brother, that is so, nothing else. I know my task. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to encourage the saints, edify them, and above all, Jesus Christ is to get the preeminence. It's that simple. It's that simple, brethren. It's that simple. God doesn't look at all this and say, you know what? It shouldn't be that God, you know, and this is the truth. It's like some Christians have quit. Why? When it's easy going, we're all for it. Brother, you can't think like that. It doesn't stop. Keep on running. Keep on fighting. Last verse, Romans chapter 12. You know it well. Romans chapter 12. And learn, brother, that any self-denial that you inflict upon yourself, it's going to be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1, you know it well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. God's not asking too much. It's reasonable. A living sacrifice. So let me ask you tonight, are you willing? Are you willing tonight to put yourself down there like Paul and say, look, I got knowledge, I know I'm free from the law, but are you willing to become all things to all men that by all means you might save some? Are you willing to go that far for the gospel's sake? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, Lord, here it is, it's a living sacrifice. I'm willing to be temperate in all things, Lord, I'll give up what you would have me to give up just for the sake of the gospel. Are you willing to tonight? I hope you are. I hope you are. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Brother, the fact that God deems, sees it fit to give us a reward on top of it all. And brother, the Bible says you are an ambassador for Christ. That means you are, you or a representative here representing the King of Kings and a heavenly country, brother, what an absolute privilege we have to go out and testify the glorious gospel of Christ. And if that comes down to sacrificing some things for the sake of that, most certainly it's worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity tonight. Lord, I pray you bless these folks. Lord, bless this church, Lord. I pray you use this church for your glory, your honor. Lord, I pray that each and every one of them, Lord, could see the absolute privilege that we have. Lord, that you bestowed upon us, Lord, a privilege to be able to take forth that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God forbid, Lord, that we would ever put ourselves first in something that we would not even consider the souls of men. That we would not be willing to condescend a man of low estate. That we'd be wise in our own conceits. And Lord, never get down to that point to be a help to people, that we would be able to be partakers thereof with them. Lord God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We let the flesh get in the way. It's a battle that we fight often. But Lord, help us like Paul to be able to bring it into subjection, to keep under our body. Lord, for Christ's sake and for the sake of souls that are dying and going to hell. Lord, I pray tonight if there's anybody that's just in the wrong fight, they're fighting the wrong fight, they're in the wrong ring. Lord, would you just show them that it's time to stop, maybe even some pretending. Stop pretending the fight. Stop fighting the wrong fights and get in the right battle, the right fight that's going on. Help them, Lord, that those that are running, Lord, to be able to pick up the hands and the feeble knees, and Lord, run that race that is set before them. Lord, I pray you help each and every one of us, Lord. Show us all where we're at. Make adjustments where we need to. Lord, we know not when the time will be, when we hear that come up hither, that call to come on home. Lord, whether it be by the way of the grave or whether it be, Lord, by the way of the error, Lord, we know not when those days may be. For our lives are but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Lord, help each and every one of us to run the race to its fullest, finish our course, and fight a good fight, keeping the faith. And Lord, this we ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.